Welcome to Firm Foundation. In these times of shifting standards and faulty foundations, there is a solid place on which to build a victorious life. And that place is the firm foundation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Your host for Firm Foundation is Brian Hudson, a Bible teacher, pastor, author, and producer of Life Enriching Media.
I want to today take a topic. We may do a couple of messages on this, maybe more than two. But let's give it a title from the outset. The title of the message today is Things That Cannot Be Shaken When Things Shake. Say that. Things that cannot be shaken when things shake. And we're going to take this topic today. We're going to roll into it, the teaching about justice and righteousness, because we need to be encouraged today. You know, it was weird. This week, this past week, I had a strange feeling. Now, I don't live by feelings, and, you know, Minister Sean's talking about being happy, and I'm happy a lot of times, you know. But I was happy, and then I felt sad. Almost in the same moment, or the moment afterwards, I was happy because my book is finished, and it's out. It's available, okay? And all that work, 4 months of writing and researching and laboring and all that, and I was happy that it was done. Then I felt sad that it was done. Only because that assignment is completed. And what's the next thing, Lord, you want to do? And what do you want to do among your people? And I realized that part of the message in the book is the next assignment to help us recognize righteousness and justice and to see that Jesus is the Lord over all. Amen. And I realized that then I became happy again, you know. So emotions rise and fall. As Minister Sean said, the joy is consistent. We want to be happy, no doubt about it. And we're going to be happy. And I realized that that rising and falling of that sense of happiness is connected to my activity for God. So then, listen, I may have the joy of the Lord at all times, but if I'm sitting doing nothing, I won't be happy. Because happiness is connected to my activity in God, amen, and toward others. So, again, I'm happy to say the book is out. I'll have some copies maybe in 2 weeks or so, but it is available online, Amazon.com, ebooks, Kindle, Apple Books, all that. So I hope you get a chance to get it. If you haven't done so already. Let's go to scripture. First scripture is Hebrews chapter 12. We'll begin here today. And our topic today is things that cannot be shaken when things shake. The Bible says, Hebrews writer said, chapter 12, verse 26, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not only the earth, but heaven also. Now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, what's therefore? For what follows? Since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Now, these are unstable times, but you already knew that. And if you think about it, there has never been a stable time in this sinful world. The Bible says the whole world lies in sin. The Bible says. So there's always something going on, but that's where we find the kingdom of God working on our behalf. We remain stable in an unstable world. You believe that? The Bible says that the whole creation is groaning and travailing with birth pangs until now. So ever since the creation fell under Adam's sin and sin took over the world, as it were, there has been the will of God underneath all that, shaking and moving and bringing redemption back. So until Jesus returns, this tension between light and darkness, this tension between ungodly and godly, holy and profane, there will be this tension going on. Now listen, you know what happens? When a warm front meets a cold front, what do you have? You got some bad weather. All right? So we're in this constant front, evil and good, light and darkness. So we're living in unstable times, even when we hear ridiculous statements like, make America great again. I ask the question, when was America great the first time? And some say, well, in the 50s, you know, with Leave It to Beaver. And Father knows best. Oh, you mean when we had segregation and lynching going on during Father Knows Best and Leave It to Beaver season? There's been no great time. There's only a great kingdom. And that we are salt and light, and we're here to redeem others back to Christ and to make best of what we have in our country, in our city, state, nation, world. And so we happen to have a pretty good deal over here in America. We got a lot of good going on, no doubt about it. We're comfortable. We're blessed. We got all kinds of stuff. But there's still shaking going on. Do not be lulled to sleep. Do not be made to think that we're good, we're fine. Come on, Jesus, we're ready for you. Come on, Jesus, we got it all ready for you to give back to you. No, we're not ready. And listen, this world cannot be ready. It has to be changed. We understand from the text and see in our lives that 2020 has been a year that reminded us we are not in heaven. We are still on earth, amen. This year reminded us, man, we are nowhere close to heaven living here. An invisible virus has wreaked havoc on our world, and it has amplified the foolishness of foolish people and careless leaders. And that's part of the shaking going on. Again, there's always been a shaking. Every season, every year. Now, some years are more challenging, more difficult. This is one of those years, no doubt about it. But every year, there's something going on. And then compound that with we're experiencing, we've lost loved ones. That happens every year. But when it happens during a pandemic, and when you can't even get away to rest, you can't go away for a vacation, right? So now you're dealing with the pandemic, loss of loved ones. You can barely get space to breathe. And so it's like this shaking has intensified in this particular year. But God is faithful. God is faithful. And in this same year, we see, according to Scripture, Ephesians 2 and 2 says that there are those who walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in children of disobedience. That's going on in this season. We got people who are following the prince of the power of the air, demonic forces. We got those who have that spirit of disobedience operating in them. That's going on. We also see, as the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, chapter 3, verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. That's a part of the shaking, elements in the shaking, just situations and people. And Proverbs 28:5 says, evil men do not understand justice, but those who seek the Lord understand all. So there's this light in the darkness. We sang a song about that. There's light in this darkness, see? And so even though we're in this great shaking, we are receiving something from God that cannot be shaken. That there is a part of life that does not shake. Say that. Say, Lord, there's a part of my life that does not shake. Maybe just one part. You know what I'm saying? But there's a part of your saved life, your life in Jesus, is not the part that's shaking. That's why we pray and worship and come together and watch online, we want to continue to encourage and strengthen the part of us that does not shake. Because look like everything else is shaking. Now today, there's lots of focus on justice and injustice. But it's very important that we, as Christ followers, become salt and light in this most important era of our time. And so even though we highlight what's wrong, we see what's wrong, we're overwhelmed with what's wrong, we're tired of hearing about what's wrong, but yet we have to remember that we are here for purpose. And part of our purpose is to be salt, that's the preservative, and light to illuminate. So don't become so overwhelmed we forget our mission, that the shaking going on is to reveal what cannot be shaken. The shaking reveals what cannot be shaken. You know, in the Bible, that story, when the king told all the people in the book of Daniel to bow down and worship the image, they all bowed, began to worship, but three men stood out because they were standing. I mean, there's a huge crowd of people. But the king said, everybody bow down to this thing. Everybody went down. Three guys didn't go down. I'm not going down. Nope, won't worship that. And so they stood out because they wouldn't be shaken by the king's decree. You follow me? So the fact is, if you just stand with Jesus, you know what I'm saying? You'll be a witness. You'll be a light. And so when you find yourself standing, everybody else is bowing down around you, use the opportunity to say, well, thank God for Jesus. He gave me strength to stand. Good news, isn't it? So then now, that's the context with which we'll read now, again, Hebrews 12, 27. It says, now this, once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. That the things which cannot be shaken may remain. So God's like, let's just shake all this up. Shake the whole thing up and let's see what remains. That's, you know, sometimes God does that. Sometimes it happens in our jobs. It's a big shakeup on the job, you know. The whole paradigm is shifted. See, who can stand this? Who will remain after this restructuring? Who has the heart and the stomach and the intelligence and the strength to stand? When everybody says, I like it the way it used to be. Well, guess what? It ain't the way it used to be now. Can you stand? Will you be shaken by it? So what it comes down to is, what are those things that will remain? He says this, verse 28. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, say that. We are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken. Make it personal. Say, I have received a kingdom which cannot be shaken. He says, let us have grace by which grace we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Now, please focus on that statement. We're receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, right? And have grace. Now, there is hope. Again, there's hope in these shaky times. There's a provision. In fact, this is the provision Jesus has made for us. That to fully appreciate what this last part of Hebrews is saying, let's go back up to the top of Hebrews and read down somewhat. So go back to verse 1. Now, in this chapter 12 of Hebrews, there are five topics of context and focus. Once you get a hold of this, very important, very, very important. The race of faith, the discipline of God, the renewal of spiritual vitality, the glorious heavenly company, and following the heavenly voice. To get to the place where you don't have shaking, where you're stable and you cannot be shaken, understand there's a race of faith. There's discipline from God. There is renewal of spiritual vitality. There is the glorious heavenly company of which we are part. And there is following the heavenly voice. All that brings us to a place where we will be able to not be shaken. Now, we looked at justice. You know, we talked about that last time I taught. We preached about justice equals righteousness. But we think that justice is only a matter of what happens in society. That's civil justice. But biblical justice is what begins with us and God. Listen, you know, if we aren't operating with God the way we should operate and let his justice, his righteousness reign in us. In fact, this explains why there's so much injustice, because people don't know God. Or if they don't know God, they don't appreciate what God said. And so that injustice comes out of the sin in people's hearts, but also out of the senselessness and carelessness of people's concern of others, or lack thereof. So then for believers, justice begins with what happens in God, and then of what God does in us. Please hear that. Justice, righteousness, the same word again in the Hebrew and Greek. Righteousness, justice begins in God, because God is the one who determines what's right, what's wrong, what goes, what needs to go away. God determines that. But then from his sovereignty and kingship, again, kingdom, you know, is the king's domain. As the king of his kingdom, then he decides what he wants. Then he transmits that to us. So justice begins with God, but then it continues in what God told us to do. And then social justice, then, is how we take God's justice to people in the world. How we serve, how we help, how we preach, how we minister. That's social justice. So justice equals righteousness. Say that. Say justice equals righteousness. And say righteousness equals stability. Please get that. That if we don't keep this thing centered in Christ, there's no stability without Jesus Christ. Let's just say that right now. There's no stability without Jesus. And unstable people lack Jesus. And even those of us who know him, sometimes we lose sight of his priorities. We become a bit unstable too without focusing on him. All right, first of all, the race of faith. I'm going to go through these quickly and may teach more about these later. Now, the race of faith speaks to how we walk with God. Hebrews 12, verse 1 says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets and snares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Listen, y'all, heaven is watching. People are watching. That's the cloud of witnesses, all right? He says, lay aside weights. Now, a weight is not a sin. It's weights and sins. Weights are things that are not needed. You know, runners and athletes, they don't run with the winter coat on, with the boots on, carrying a suitcase. In fact, they shed almost everything. They're almost naked now. But the point is, you need to be unencumbered to be able to perform, to run, to jump, whatever you're doing. And so for us, we need to focus on our race. Sometimes the shaking we're experiencing is we're trying to run with Jesus with all this baggage and weight going on. Stuff that weighs you down. Not sinful things, just stuff you don't need. Things that get in the way. And he says, lay aside the weights and the sin which easily ensnares, the things that we are individually weak concerning. We all have weaknesses. Everybody has them. And so the thing is to avoid the weaknesses. Stay away from the stuff that you're weak regarding, because these are things you can't run the race of faith the way God says. Run it with weights and sins. Again, this is what explains the latter part of the chapter when he says we have a kingdom that cannot be shaken. We're telling you what the kingdom looks like. The kingdom looks like people who are not letting weights and sin slow them down. Amen? Think about that. What are your weights? I mean, write it down. What are weights to you? What are things that are weights to you? What are sins that easily ensnare? He says, run with endurance. You can endure. Listen, when you learn how to rest in the Lord and use the power of another. He's not saying do nothing. He said run. He didn't say sit down. He said run. But how can you run in a way where it doesn't make you weary? It doesn't wear you out. Well, you rest in the Lord. The Bible says in Hebrews, a different place, Hebrews, that there's a rest for the people of God. And the rest is, we always teach you this, the rest is to use the power of another. If you ask me to go down to Walgreens, which is about 3 blocks away, I can walk down there, try to jog down there, or get in my car and drive down there. I can use the power of the car to get to Walgreens, or I can use my own power to get to Walgreens. You follow me? A lot of times we as believers are always using our own power, our own strength, our own wits, trying to figure things out. All it does is wear us out. And so guess what? You cannot run with endurance. He didn't say just run. He said run with endurance. That means you run the whole race. Amen? You run the whole race. You don't run some of the race and sit down for some of it. Come on, somebody. I mean, we have these celebrity walks and runs. I get that. You can run a while, walk a while. But if you're in an actual running race, you can't just walk some of the race. You got to run the whole thing, right? And so this is how we run the whole race in God. We rest in the Lord. Use the power of another. See, Lord, help me to use your power. And it says Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. That word finisher means perfecter. He is the perfecter of our faith. So here in this run and running our race, we're having to learn as we go, get things straight, get things right. And the Bible says that Jesus is the author, but also he's the perfecter. So the one that got you started, go back to him. Don't leave him. The one who got you off to a good start, keep consulting him, because he's there not just to make you run, but to help you run. He's there to help you when you get weak, when you feel faint. He's the perfecter of your faith walk. Amen, somebody? Next point here is, again, the discipline of God. Again, these 5 points in Hebrews chapter 12. How we receive correction from God. This is a part of not being shaken. Hear me, it's a part of not being shaken. And it goes on and says, Hebrews 12 and 5, and have you forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons? My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. For what son is there whom the father does not chasten? You don't correct other people's children. You correct your own children. And God says, he says that correction is a sign of love. Let me ask you a question. Have you been rebuked by the Lord lately? He says, don't be discouraged when you're rebuked by him. He says that for whom the Lord loves, he chastens. Well, if you haven't been rebuked by God, there's something not right in relationship with God. Or you're perfect. Either a person's perfect or they don't belong to God. Because correction comes. The Bible says in Proverbs that reproofs of correction are the way of life. Getting quiet up in here. Even Minister Bertha gets corrected by the Lord. So if she does, all of us getting corrected by God, amen? I'm serious though. Think about it. If you haven't heard God correct, I don't mean rebuke you like you stole some money, take the money back. I mean just high level things. Right? We don't operate a level of I stole this, I lied. No, I'm talking about high level stuff like I didn't keep my promise over here, didn't follow up like I said I was gonna follow up. Right? You call some people and the voice thing says, thanks for calling, leave your number, I'll call you back. They don't call you back. So your phone made you a liar. Now, you don't go to hell for that. But see, high level, listen to me, high level people care about things like that too. I'm not gonna say I'll call you back. I'll say leave your number. Goodbye. Because if I say I'm calling you back, I will call you back. See, this thing of not keeping my word, falling down on commitments, these are things the Lord will talk to us about if we're paying attention. That's what chastening. Chastening, y'all, is not spanking. Listen, in our culture, we're the beat that behind culture. Beat that behind. See, that's our culture. Beat the behind. But chastening is not spanking. Chastening is focused on correction and training. Because some kids get the behind beat and never do better. Why? Because they aren't being trained. Beat their behind doesn't change them. It makes them smarter. How to avoid getting their behind beat. So they'll lie. Or they'll lie to you to avoid. You know, point is, chastening is child training. And so this is part of how we get to a place of not being shaken, is that the discipline of God is operating in us. And we receive correction from God. It's a wonderful thing, y'all, to have God correct you. It's wonderful. It's a blessing. It reminds me how much God loves me. To be corrected, Lord, thank you, Lord. You love me, you know. And like I told you, in art school, the whole thing in art school was critiques every week. Everybody's stuff was critiqued by everybody. Fellow students, professors, sometimes a guest professor come in and critique it. And so it was a horrible thing. You thought you did a good job on that. You worked hard, labored on that design and put up on a wall, and then people pointing out stuff and not right with it, like, oh, my God. Oh. But then after a couple of weeks, like, oh, this is great, because you were realizing I had all these blind spots going on. I thought this was right, and it wasn't right. And other folk had to show me from their expertise, I'll say, that's important, the off-the-street people, people who are artists also, could point out. And then from that point as an 18-year-old to my life today, I still value critique. I love it. I thrive on it. Because if you can't take critique, you can't get better. What did I just say? You can't get better. And guess what? There are folk content not to get better. They don't want no critique, no correction, and they're content to stay the same. But guess what? No one stays the same. They just start going, they slide back. Sliding back. Two steps, one step forward, two steps back. One step forward, two steps back. One step forward. Which way am I going? One step forward, two steps back. One step forward. Which direction? Which way am I going? You're going backwards. Now, hey, one step back, two steps forward. One step back, two steps forward. Which way are you going now? You're going forward. So let's be real about this thing, because we're talking about not being shaken and having a kingdom that is not shaken. So these are kingdom principles. We don't shake because the kingdom don't shake. So live a kingdom-based life and you won't shake. Renewal of spiritual vitality. How are we renewed in God? Hebrews 12 and 12 says this. Therefore, strengthen the hands that hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather healed. Now, we understand, we faced this. We've had the feeling of, hands hang down is just a phrase that means I'm just discouraged. I'm discouraged. Feeble knees, again, just, a sense of weakness. I can't get going. It said, make straight paths for your feet. Well, Understand how God works, where grace is concerned, where God's kingdom is concerned. God gives us grace to address weak and negative conditions. Please hear that. God gives you grace to address weakness, negative conditions. When God tells us, when God says to strengthen the hands that hang down, when God says to strengthen the knees that are feeble, when God says to make paths, straight paths for your feet, that's your answer. So, okay. I come, Elder Owens, I need some help. My hands are down. My knees are feeble. My path is crooked. What should I do? He said, make your hands strong, straighten your path out, and strengthen your feeble knees. No, you missed what I said. I'm telling you, my hands are down, my knees are feeble, my path is crooked. What should I do? He says to me, Brian Hudson, Pastor Hudson, strengthen those weak hands. Strengthen the feeble knees and make your path straight. Now, catch it. See, we think people should tell us some other thing to do. Like, we'll tell you what to do. Go say 10 prayers a day, read 10 scriptures every day, and that'll make your hands better and your knees better. But God thinks this way. I've already put grace in you. I've already put Jesus in you. I've already given you what you need. Now, what you ought to do now, I need you to go ahead and strengthen those hands that hang down. I want you now to make those feeble knees strong. I want you to make that path straight. You do it by the grace of God. It's like when Jesus said, when Peter said to a man, no, Christ said it too. He said to a man, rise up and walk. And the man got up and walked. Because, listen, the response to God is the miracle. Your response to God is the blessing. Your blessing is in your response to God. 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 It's not in the conference. Or the book, or the prophecy, is your response to God. The blessing is in your response to God. He says, therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down. What did he say? What else did he say? Nothing else. It is implied you strengthen hands. You strengthen feeble knees. You make straight paths for your feet so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather healed. See, so if we keep going down, if you got a problem, natural example. If you go around driving your car on a low tire, one low tire, and the thing is 10 pounds low, 12 pounds low, doesn't look flat, but it's low. Keep driving it that way, you're going to wear that tire. That tire wears out much faster. The tire was designed to operate at certain pounds of pressure. If you drive it to lower pressure, you'll wear the tread faster, right? If we don't walk in kingdom principle, if we don't do what God said, you make yourself worse. You make yourself worse by not doing what God said. But I'm just going through so much. God knows that. We all going through something somehow. There's no minimizing how you feel. How you feel is real. But don't let how you feel prevent you from obeying God if you're a believer in Christ. You have grace for this. That same point, next scripture here. 1 John 4:4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. The point here is whatever God requires, he provides. So if God says, strengthen weak hands, hands hung down, feeble knees, make the path straight, whatever God requires, he provides. So don't feel put off by that statement, because we're only saying what you can do based on what God has given you grace for. And your blessings in your action. So thank God for grace, because grace is what enables and empowers us to do what God wants us to do. And all we have to do is, Lord, press into him. Next point, the glorious company, how we relate to others in God. Hebrews 12, 18, for you have not come to the mountain which may be touched and that burned with fire, and to blackness and darkness and tempest. Now, this is talking about when God came down on Mount Sinai, Israel saw God's presence on that mountain. And all that, like that storm front, cold, warm front collided. Well, God's holiness manifested in an unholy place and looked like a storm when God showed up. But he says this, no, we haven't come to that. Verse 22 says, but we have come, you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God and to the heavenly Jerusalem, to innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven. That's us, y'all. See, that's me. Yeah. And to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. So now, in contrast to what Israel experienced under Moses before Christ, before redemption, they tried to approach an unapproachable God. But in Jesus, we now can approach an approachable God because Jesus made that possible. And so now we don't just stand back and shriek in terror at Israel. They were afraid, said, Moses, you don't speak to us. Or, no, he said, Moses, don't tell God, speak to us, you speak to us. They were afraid of God. Not afraid like fear of God. They were afraid, like deathly afraid, because they were sinners, unredeemed. But today, in this time, in our time, we have come to the Mount Zion, to the city of living God, heavenly Jerusalem, all these blessings. We've come to a glorious company. We've come to a glorious company. And because we're a part, listen, we're a part of a glorious company, another reason why we don't shake. We're not around shaky people. We aren't in shaky circumstances. We aren't in shaky relationships. So, yeah, it's important, isn't it? I mean, Israel was always shaking. They shook all the time. They said, God, come. Oh, no, God, go away. We don't. He asked for him to come, and he came, and we can't handle it, see? They were shaking. But today, we're redeemed. We're in Christ. Next point is the last one here, the fifth of the five focus areas. Following the heavenly voice, which is how we obey God. Now we're back where we started. How we obey God. And it says here, Hebrews 12, 25, see that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they, Israel, did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, Moses, how much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven? That's Jesus, that's God, whose voice then shook the earth, but he has now promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but heavens also. This is awesome. Now, in the Hebrew text, the word that's used for Moses speaking, listen to me, is a word that means to transmit a message from somebody to somebody. Moses was a transmitter of a message. But then he says, if you don't listen to him who is just a transmitter of a message, he says, but the one who speaks from heaven, that word speaks is the actual voice. Not the message being sent to somebody, but the actual person saying the word. So, in other words, we're going from Israel had firsthand messages to now we have direct messages, direct from God. He says, now, how much if people, listen, y'all, if people didn't listen to what God was saying through somebody and got punished for that, how much worse is it for people who have direct word from God, who hear from God by the scripture, by the Spirit? Come on, somebody.
He says, see that you do not refuse him who speaks. Don't refuse him who speaks from heaven. Listen, what God said through Moses shook the earth. But what God is saying through Jesus shakes earth and heaven. Everything is shaken when Jesus speaks. Everything. Not just earth, not just Mount Sinai. And so we're under, not obligation, but we're under, I'll say, a simple mandate that if we say we follow Jesus, then follow Jesus. If we're believers, then believe. If we're Christians, be Christ-like. Because we have grace. So when he says, strengthen the hands that hang down and the feeble knees and deal with the path that's crooked, we can do all of that. We are in Christ. So I'm in Christ. I can do all things in Christ. He didn't say, I can wait for somebody to do all things for me in Christ. So no, I can do all things in Christ. Who does what? Strengthens me. Come on, y'all. I know we're in an excuse culture, a culture of excuse and things, but listen, ain't no excuse for people in God. Not now. No, not ever, actually, but especially not now. We have too much light. Too much light. All right, let me finish up here. So this is an amazing text. And the key to this text is recognizing this statement again. We are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. That's the whole key to this. Nothing works. Listen, if we haven't received a kingdom in which there is this grace and this power and this strength, then I don't have any chance at all. Nothing I do will work. But because I receive the kingdom and we live in kingdom, I can operate in kingdom and it makes a difference. So God's kingdom is more than being part of an organization. Now, we teach this in the members class. We teach this, that there are two types of members in any church. There is club-type member, and there's body-type member. You may recall that in the class. Now, a club-type member is a member who joins something that will make him or her feel good and look good. That's the club-type member, church club, whatever kind of club it is. But a body-type member is a Christ follower who is joined by God to a body and recognizes his or her interdependence with others. So we're a body type members. Listen, that's why people that church hop and all that, they are club type members. This is the best club in town. Go join that club. Now, the church itself isn't a club. I'm saying their attitude is they make it a club. So you have all these folks in here, all this crowd in a very small core in the biggest churches. Most of them are club-type members. And a smaller portion are the body-type members. And in fact, for club-type members, here's their word. The word for club-type members, rather, is Judges 17:6. In those days, there was no king. Everyone did what was right in his own sight. That's the club-type member. But in the body of Christ, for the body member, the word is, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting each other so much the more as you see the day approaching. So in the body type members, we're concerned about helping and encouraging and strengthening one another. See, this is a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Talk about kingdom now. Clubs are shaken. A club is just a place to have fun. But the kingdom of God and the body of Christ, we're members one of another in Christ. And so that's why we're not shaken, because we're not around shaky people. Last slide, last point. All right, so here's the conclusion. We have received this kingdom that cannot be shaken. We're not just a member of something or an organization. We have a kingdom relationship. Say, I have.
I have.
A kingdom relationship. Relationship with God, with God's people, and God's purpose cannot be shaken. There it is. You can't be shaken because you're with God. Can God be shaken? Can God's people be shaken? No. Can God's purpose be shaken? No. So when we are part of God, his people, and his purpose, we will not be shaken. And so it all, again, all the shaking is happening now. You're seeing all this foolishness going on. People are aligning themselves with politicians in a wrong way, trying to mix God up in that mess. No, God stands above that. We vote, we're citizens, we vote for competent people. Say competent people. It's all about competence. It's not about what's their theology. No, I'm not looking at that. Can you do the job? Can you do the job and not be a liar every other day, every day? That's important to me. But when it concerns my being able to stand firm and not be shaken, that comes from God, God's people, God's purpose. Say God, God's people, God's purpose. Let's all stand. Father, thank you for reminding us of these principles, Lord. And Lord, we are aware. Many of us here and who are watching are aware of these truths. But Lord, let these truths become focused in our minds, in our hearts. Let us not drift away, Lord, from that focus.